Hi, this is Trevor. Before we start this week's episode, a big thank you from me and the team for all the positive articles, tweets and comments on the interview with Paul Gambaccini. He was as surprised as I was by the numbers of people it reached and the outpourings of sympathy and respect for Gambo and his recent travails. Sometimes this fractious and competitive industry of ours seems to come together, and that was one such moment for which I'm very grateful. So now on to this week's podcast.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Well, there's certainly no shortage of academies in radio. The BBC have got one, Bauer have got one, there's the Radio Academy, of course, and now perhaps the most ambitious of them all, the Global Academy. Will Harding is Global's Chief Strategy Officer, and he's been telling me all about it.
Well, the Global Academy is a very special kind of school. It's a university technical college which is focused on vocational teaching and vocational education. So we will be opening our doors in September of this year to about 200 students in year 12 and in year 10. So that's 16-year-olds coming in to do their A-levels and 14-year-olds coming in to do their GCSEs. And they will be studying all of the academic subjects that you would expect. So all of the GCSE students will be doing English, maths and science and other options. But on top of that, they'll also be studying digital and broadcast media. Between a quarter and a third of their time, typically, will be on that vocational teaching. And that's what makes the Global Academy special.
And was this a need that you identified? I mean, all radio groups talk about how difficult it is to recruit people with the right kind of skills. I guess this is going to help you to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's one of the key drivers behind the Academy. Just like any other media company and any other radio group, we get loads of people who've got, young people who've got a tremendous passion and enthusiasm for the medium. And a lot of them have really good academic qualifications as well. But what they tend to lack is the practical skills to really hit the ground running. And so what the Global Academy will do is not only teach them video production, audio production, digital production skills, but they'll also be doing it on the same kind of equipment and kit that we would use here at Global. So when they do go and hopefully come and work for us or work for Bauer or the BBC or whomever, they really will be able to hit the ground running from day one.
And as you're saying, it's going to be multi-platform, which of course you have to be. I was just thinking about, I think the first time I met you when you joined GCAP, it was still a radio business, wasn't it? And my word, how things have changed.
Well, goodness me, you're making us both feel very, very old. No, it is absolutely multi-platform. I mean, radio is at the heart of our business at Global, and it will be absolutely at the heart of the Global Academy. There's facilities in the school for 8 radio studios. That's on top of 2 TV studios, production facilities, etc., etc. So radio is really, really important. Audio is really, really important to the Global Academy. But the students will also learn video production, and they'll also learn digital production as well. They'll learn about putting on live events. They'll learn about marketing, about the commercial side of the business. So, you know, every kind of career and skill that you have within a modern media company, students at the Global Academy will be able to develop those skills while they're also studying for GCSEs and A-levels.
And where's it going to be?
It's in Hayes in Hillingdon. It's on the site of the old EMI vinyl factory.
Oh, their pressing plant.
Absolutely, yeah. It is. The school is currently being built. It's on track for delivery in August to us. So it is absolutely on the site where EMI used to press their records back in the day. So there's a bit of heritage over there as well.
And how is it going to be run? Who's in charge? How have you developed the curriculum?
Okay, so who's in charge? Well, it's an academy like any other academy or free school. So there is a trust and a board of governors. The sponsors of the academy is not only us, Global, but also the University of the Arts London, UAL. So that's the umbrella university for the London College of Communications and many other colleges in London. It's probably the leading creative university in Europe. So we're the joint sponsors of the project. And so representatives of Global and of UAL are on the governing body alongside independent representatives. And underneath that, there is obviously a principal and a teaching staff. So we're delighted that we have a principal who's used to be deputy principal at the Brit School in Croydon, which is a similar kind of school, obviously. They're very much focused on performing arts, whereas we're very, very focused on production and the commercial side of the business. And he's putting his team together, literally as we speak. We've been interviewing teachers this week to join the academy. So it's very, very exciting.
There'll be people listening to this who teach at universities, and the world is full, isn't it, of media production courses, of radio and television and journalism courses. What is this going to... You mentioned the practical side of it, but why would somebody who is 16 want to come to you or apply to you rather than, you know, a Salford or a Nottingham Trent or one of the others?
Well, the first is, obviously, in comparison to universities, we're a school. Yeah. So we're for 14 to 19-year-olds. And the second thing is we offer a combination. We offer all of the academic subjects that you'd expect at a secondary school, but we also offer the vocational teaching. In terms of what makes us different, obviously, I'd have to say it's the links with industry, not just with Global, but with all of our business partners as well, with UAL and their network. You know, that's what makes the Global Academy different, is it will very much be part of the Global family, and the businesses and partners that we work with in all aspects of our business, we'll also be working with them in the Global Academy. So we'll be working with partners across the board on building the curriculum. We'll also be very much hoping that our partners will provide work experience for students at the Global Academy. And, you know, we'll be able to send their staff over. And what we found as the projects gathered pace here at Global is just how willing Globalers are to put their time, weekends, evenings into helping launch the school. And that level of enthusiasm is mirrored across all of the other companies that we've talked to, you know, companies that we do business with all the time. You know, people... You know, education is really, really important for society as a whole. And a good vocational education is really, really important for our industry. And everybody gets that. And everybody's been willing to chip in. And that's been one of the most fantastic things about working on this.
So when can people think about applying?
Oh, well, I mean, we are pretty much full in terms of students for next September. So as a new school, we're only offering up to 200 places in September. I say up to, we've offered a couple over than that because you never quite know what will happen between now and September. We are still accepting applications for students in year 10 and year 12, but we're getting very close to the point where we're going to have to call a halt to that. But then the school will grow. So next year we'll be offering more places, the year after that, more places again. And when we're full, we're full for us is a school of 800 students across the 4 year groups. So we're starting deliberately with 200 while we establish the school and make sure that, you know, everything is absolutely as we would want it.
It's a big project, this, isn't it?
It's a massive project. It's a massive project involving, as I say, not just us and UAL, a lot of partners, the Department for Education. You know, it's costing a lot of money. It's government money, your money and my money, Trevor.
Well, thank goodness for that.
Yeah, £13.6 million to build this school. So it's a very big project, and it's very important, and one that's very, very important to us at Global.
Will Harding from Global on their academy, which sounds to me like a really worthwhile idea. So good luck to everyone involved. And in case you're wondering, yes, I did think about asking Will why Global have stopped supporting the Radio Academy, but that's not his area of responsibility. So we'll have to seek answers to that elsewhere. Stay with us if you can for some more radio moments. David Lloyd's here after the news from Stuart Clarkson.
Yes, thank you, Trevor. The four applications for the West Central Scotland 96.3 FM licence are now available to have a look at online. Bids have been made by Clyde Rocks, Go 96.3, Original FM and Rock Radio Glasgow. All of them propose to broadcast to a population of 1.3 million adults in Glasgow and surrounding areas using a 4-kilowatt transmitter at Cafkin. Communicore UK has signed a management contract with Adventure Radio to provide support to its stations Connect FM in Peterborough and Kettering and Heart Hertfordshire in Watford. Communicore will assist with sales, technology, training and other group services. Radio Essex isn't included in the agreement, but staff there will get sales training and development. Q Radio in Belfast has apologised this week to Ofcom for playing a song with offensive language in. It played the non-radio edit of Pillar Talk by Zayn Malik at around 2:30 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon. The song contains two uses of the F word. One listener made a complaint to the regulator. Ofcom says Q was in breach of the broadcasting code. Mary Berry and Angelina Jolie Pitt are among five guest editors announced for Woman's Hour this month on Radio 4. They'll work with the production team to take charge of a programme each between the 13th and the 17th of June. And KISS is launching a brand new radio show dedicated to grime music, hosted by DJ and producer Rude Kid. KISS Grime will debut on the KISS main station on Sunday night from 10. More news, of course, daily at radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Visual radio smarter and cheaper. Virtual director from Broadcast Bionics combines your social media, messaging, photos, audio and videos with intelligent camera control and automated graphics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
We start this week 43 years ago and a major schedule change at Radio 1. Noel Edmonds took over the breakfast show, replacing Blackburn after 6 years.
I wasn't particularly helpful to him when he started Radio 1 because I knew he was taking over my breakfast show, which I considered to be mine, and I wanted it to remain that way for some time. So we weren't the greatest of friends.
And what's more, Tony Blackburn moved to mid-morning, so the nation recalls some wonderful 9 o'clock handovers.
And that's Julie Cummington. It's exactly 9 o'clock on Radio 1. There we go.
The keys.
Yes, you can plug them into the transmitter and get through to the 9 to 12 cupboard.
They don't fit, these ones.
And they?
No, you got the wrong ones, though.
No, I'm sure they're the right ones, aren't they?
Right.
Try the long one.
Ah, that's got it.
Well done.
Lovely.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Stand by. Take six.
The Golden Hour. Tony Blackburn.
Remember. Best of luck, studio.
Time heals, though, and mutual respect wins through.
When you launched Radio 1, I was so energised and envious in equal measure because that's all I ever wanted to do in my life. And we all had a great laugh, and yeah, there was rivalry, but you went to mid-morning and you established that, and
it was never quite the same, though.
I hate to say it, but you're still a hero of mine. I hate to say it.
Coincidentally, it's exactly 50 years this week since Tony Blackburn arrived on board the Pirate Radio London, having left Caroline.
Yes, I think it's about time for a Radio London climber now. This one comes from Guy Dowell, and it's called Hard Loving. 6.5 minutes past 12 o'clock.
Most great talent gets sacked at least once, and it's 50 years since Kenny Everett returned to Pirate Radio London after being sacked 7 months before about his comments on an American religious show.
This is Herbert W. Armstrong with tomorrow's big news.
They used to have a 6 till 9 show, and they used to interrupt it every night with this taped thing from America. And it was half an hour on tape sent to radio stations all around the world where you get the programme and he pays you like £50. And it's an evangelical thing and he tells you what horrors are in store. I didn't agree with what he said because I'm quite an optimist, really. He was fire and brimstone. And think, why me? Why has it been plonked in the middle of my show? Everybody's going to turn off.
Kenny Everett, who was reinstated on Radio London this week in 1966. 12 years ago this week, Kerrang 105.2 launched in the West Midlands. Music with attitude.
5 minutes to Kerrang 105.2 launch.
Tim Shaw hosts the late night show at Kerrang 105.2. He used to work in the area a few years ago and racked up Europe's biggest fine for offensive material. Recently, he tried to get his job back.
Hello?
Adam, all right, mate. It's Tim Shaw. How's it going?
Oh, here he is.
Kerrang! Launching this week in 2004. That frequency later carried Planet Rock. It's now Absolute. In its blue tones, those pictures of New Broadcasting House at night look pretty good, don't they? And this week, 3 years ago, Her Majesty the Queen opened it.
John and I are honoured to say that here in this new studio, the Today Programme studio, we've been joined by Her Majesty the Queen and the Director General of the BBC, Lord Hall of Birkenhead, for the formal opening of this BBC transformed headquarters. Director General.
Your Majesty, as you've seen so far walking around this building, it gives us all enormous pleasure to welcome you to Broadcasting House.
The official opening of New Broadcasting House this week, 3 years ago. Premier Radio is now heard across the UK on DAB, and it began on FM 21 years ago as the UK's first licensed Christian station.
It's 3 o'clock on Saturday, June the 10th, 1995, and Premier Christian Radio for London is officially on the air.
it was a distant dream. At that time, when people said, did I think we could change the law? I said, well, yes, but I thought it might take, you know, as long as it took to change the slavery laws, which would mean, you know, another two generations. And then it came.
41 years ago, radio came to where laws are made, when trial broadcasts began from the House of Commons on BBC and commercial radio.
The Conservative member for Eastbourne, Mr. Ian Gow, asked the Secretary of State for Industry, Mr. Wedgwood Benn, about his attitude during the campaign and his post in the government.
What do the industry ministers of the eight...
The trial broadcast from the House of Commons. I now wonder if any broadcasting trial has actually ever not been carried on afterwards. 12 years ago, Scott Mills took over drive time on Radio 1, and here he is, aged 16.
We start a new week of In Session with a male solo singer from Bournemouth who is about to be quite big. He got his first signing with EMI Records when he was 17. He's now 21 and still waiting for that first hit.
Scott Mills, who went to Radio 1 Drive Time this week in 2004, and there he was at a younger age. And if you read his book, actually, he tells of how petrified he used to be about even going near a radio station back then. Let's go further back now. 72 years ago, the Allied Expeditionary Forces programme began. It was operated by the BBC on behalf of the Allied Forces. Cabaret and Swing on 583. It began broadcasting on the 7th of June 1944, the day after the Normandy landings.
This is the Allied Expeditionary Forces programme of the BBC. We are initiating today a radio broadcasting service for the members of the Allied Expeditionary Forces. We shall call this service the AEF programme. Its purpose is threefold: to link you with your homes by means of news broadcasts from the United Kingdom, Canada, and the United States, to give you the latest news of our own and other war fronts and the world events, and finally to afford you diversion and relaxation during those precious few moments of leisure.
That's the way to launch a station, isn't it? The Allied Expeditionary Forces programme, which began this week in 1944 and ended a year later. There was drama in Nottingham this week, 31 years ago.
Neil's former girlfriend, Lynn Goldingay, disappeared after spending the weekend with the DJ in March. And 3 days later, after Neil had been helping police with their inquiries for more than 48 hours, he confessed that he'd killed Lynn and led detectives to a lonely spot near the Ratcliffe-on-Soar power station where he'd buried the body.
The tragic story of Graham Neil, Trent's evening rock show presenter, who hanged himself this week in 85. So, with the first Jamie Theakston show on Heart London 11 years ago...
The 11th of June, you're listening to Heart Breakfast.
Bob Holness leaving LBC after 10 years service 31 years ago. The death of Radio 2 comic serial star Jimmy Clitheroe 43 years ago.
Don't tell me she snores in time to the music.
And Channel 4 announcing the launch of Channel 4 Radio 10 years ago with brand extensions of Channel 4 News, Richard and Judy, Lost and Big Brother. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments!
Thank you, David Lloyd, Stuart Clarkson, researcher Hayley Hayes, and Will Harding from Global. Next week, I'll be in the Highlands to meet the good people at Bower's most northerly outpost, MFR, in Inverness. Join me for that if you can. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.